Okay, everybody say we're gonna do this B'nai Chayil shtickle, but he has a piece on he has a piece on Lag Boimer. So we're gonna discuss Lag Boimer, and we're going to put it a little bit together with this week's parsha. This week's parsha is none other than parshas Bechukotai, and everyone knows what does Bechukotai Telechu mean. So, I just saw a beautiful thing. First of all, everyone knows what Zephyr do. How do you know? How do you see from Bechukos at Telechu? Okay, but the words, the drush is on the word Bechukos at Telechu. How do you see from Telechu? Simple. So people say that Telechu means while you're going. You should be even learning while you're going. That's one way.
Oh, I was learning.
Nice. Telechu. You were telechu. It was a meilus b'tayra.
Yeah, no, Josh was on the elliptical, and I was on the treadmill.
I don't know if that's called a meilus b'tayra. I think it's a meilus while you're doing tayra. I don't think it's a meilus in the tayra. You're working on. He's working on the elliptical and he's doing the tire. I don't know if that's Pashup Shad.
I've seen a guy on the treadmill with a huge like chashin shas. Okay.
Yeah, I once advertised a Dafyomi treadmill. It's like, you know, you have like the art scroll, you have the art scroll in front of you, the art scroll, and it turns pages. Like all you have to do is like you know, go like this and it gets the page while you're running on the treadmill. You could do everything at once. Okay, but all
that's a real chassis. That's for a real chassis.
That's not for a real chassis. That's for someone who's very into his treadmill.
16 chassis.
He wants to convince himself that going on treadmill is good, so he learns also. No, that's not true. There's a lot of good things that are in this world. You have to know how to put it in the right place, the right time. Someone who has to do it, or who wants to do it, you might as well learn. It's definitely a great thing. I'm not, you know, you can make fun of a lot of things, but we all know that a lot of things are very, very good, and even if you're able to make fun of it. What I'm trying to say is like this, B'chukos HaTelechu Pashup Shat is wherever you go, you should go like B'chukos HaTelechu, with the way Hashem wants it, exactly wherever Hashem wants, and you have to live it, and you have to, if Telechu, wherever you go, you have the Torah, and the only way you can do that is if you make Torah your life, the only way. And I always want to explain to the Olam that as much as everyone thinks and everyone knows, and I think it's true, and every single one of us, that we might not be spending our entire life just learning, maybe not even as much as we're supposed to be learning in yeshiva, but the only way that we're going to be able to be b'chukosai telechu, that we're going to be able to do what Hashem wants at all times, is if we're a melem b'tayra now, and we'll be able to telechu and go in the ways of Torah. And I want to bring that out from Shem Baruch Hai. He brings two parts. I'm not going to have time to go through both parts, but we're going to discuss one of the stanzas in the song Baruch Hai. That nice idea. So it goes like this. Baruch Hai Moishav Toiv Yoshavta. What does that mean? Moishav Toiv Yoshavta. You had a good sitting. Yoim Nasta Yoim Asher Beirachta. Yoim Nasta means the day you ran away, that you fled. Yom Asher Beirachta, the day that you ran away. I guess it rhymes. Maybe we'll have some way to put it. B'ma'oras Tzurim, in a ma'ora, a cave of rock. She amadeta, that you stood there. Sham kanisa hoid chavadarecha. Right, that. Okay. Over there, you got your hoid, your glory, your beauty, and your glory. We're in this cave that you stayed over there the whole bunch of times. Now, Frekt of Bnei Chayil, this is it's a peledika statement, and from over here we're going to learn the yisoid of really getting into learning. He asks like this: Moishav Toiv Yoshavta, you had a good sitting, and where did you have a good sitting? In the cave. I'm like, really? in the cave where he ran away. He was being chased to be killed. And he went over there because he was afraid for his life, because he wanted to teach Torah Barabim. He wasn't able to teach Torah Barabim. He ran away. Lucky for him, his son came with him, Elazar Shimon, who Mr. Shimon will be able to see. He's buried right next to his father. And he came with him to learn with him. They had to stay there for 12 years. The Midrashim are scary to think of what happened. They were there was no food, no nothing. Hashem made a nace and a tree of charuvim came and grew right over there. But it only was together with, there was a ma'ayan, a spring that came into the cave that gave him to drink, and it was a boxer tree. It's brought down, I saw just now, I was before just looking around a little bit. I saw it's brought down from Medrash Talpiyos. It's the name of a kind of Medrash. And the Medrash says, interesting thing, that every Shabbos, that tree turned into a date tree. So for Shabbos, he had dates. Because you could bench on dates, according to Shabbat Chai, you had bench on dates, if you're looking at Gemara and Brachas. So it's a Suda. So he had a... According to Shimon, or Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Kiva. And Shimon was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. Kayadua! So he was able... So it turned into a day tree. And Shabbos, he had special food. Choruv is... part of the nace was... this has nothing to do with what I'm about to say. But it was such a big nace that it just came there. The Gemara says, Choruv tree... it takes 70 years for it to produce fruit. So like, why in the world would Hashem have to make a tree, like a nace? Make an apple tree that takes 2 years for it to come. Right? So like, why did he need that kind of tree? Because it was a full nace. It was a sholem dik nace. It was total, he ate nace food. But it was still, you know, that's because he was kula Torah, kula Hashem over there. There was nothing else. Anyways, back to the question. What's the pshat? That's a Moshav Tov Yashavta? That he was running away? It says that he had one pair of clothes. He had one pair of clothes, and because he had one pair of clothes, he knew he was there, didn't know. It was sand inside. So he took off his clothes, he and Elazar Shimon, they took off their clothes, and the whole day they went into sand up to their necks. And they learned in there, in the sand. And for davening, they came out of the sand and they put on their clothes to have special clothes for davening. Because they went to be able to have special clothes for davening. So special clothes for davening. It's an amazing thing. This is how we learned. He learned in Tok Mesiris Nefesh, and it was 12 years. And then he came out, and Hashem sent him back in for another year. So he was there for 13 years or something like that. And that's what we call Moshav Tov Yashavta. That's question number one. Question number two, asks Bnei Chayil. We continue. It said, "Moshav Tov Yashavta." Yoim Nasta Yomashav Rachta. Then he ran away. B'Moritz Sum She'amadita. Translation: Moritz Sum She'amadita. You stood, huh? Moshav Tov Yashavta. He sat, dwelled. He was standing the whole day. Why was he standing? What does that have to do with Moshav? Moshav is sitting. He's comfortable. Gishmak. What? Yeah, that's what you have to say, that there's a certain type of geshmak over there, because that's what we're going to have to do. That's Moshav Tov Yashavta. So he goes to explain. Sometimes people ask as follows: the word yeshiva. You learn in yeshiva? No, I learn in yeshiva. We're going to yeshiva. I'm a yeshiva guy. Now, what's the translation of the word yeshiva? Yeshiva. You're sitting, right? Yeshiva means sitting. What in the world does yeshiva have to do with sitting? I think yeshiva has to do with sleeping. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, you get out once in a while, you learn a little bit. What's it do with, so what do you want to say, he says, Ken Zayin, that that the side of yeshiva is learning Torah, and they're looking at the Spanish. But anyone that would be here is sitting. You guys are sitting. You're learning Torah. You're sitting.
We're supposed to stand.
Factually, that the Gemara says that the way Torah is supposed to be, it's supposed to be while you're standing. Rav Gamliel, cover that Torah, standing. Rav Gamliel, that's the same. Until Rav Gamliel died, everyone learned Torah standing. Why? That's covered Torah, to do it standing. So we do it because we're a weaker generation. We can only learn sitting. And that is how we're supposed to learn. But you can't say that that's why it's called yeshiva. So there's Lamaisa in Bnei Chayil. There's one of the kinyanim is be yeshiva, and he goes through a whole thing, and one day Mr. Shalom will get there. We're going
to
start from the beginning.
How to dwell, how to live your life.
It's teaching you how to live your life. It's teaching you. So he goes through different types of ways, and I would like to dwell on one akuda. The side of yeshiva, is getting something out of it. Being there, I'm really there. I want to be there. I have something from it. Not just passing through. It's a yeshiva. It's a place. It comes with the same thing, he says, in other places. Yishuv hadas. What's yishuv hadas? A peace of mind, tranquility, thought through, getting into something. That's your miyushav. You're able to. I can't talk right now because my mind is not. I'm very busy. I'm running all over. I don't have peace of mind. I'm not in one spot. When I get my peace of mind, then I'll be able to speak to you. That's what yeshiva is. Yeshiva has to be, you have to be there. You're here because you're here, you want to be here, you're sitting here, you're proud of what you're doing, you want to do what you're doing, you have a goal in accomplishing and being here. I saw, the reason why I picked this is because on Shabbos, I was sitting, but waiting for waiting for the Rav to finish davening, and I saw, and there was a sefer, Shalom Shadron, Leiv Shalom was on my table, and I opened it up to Parshas Bechukosai, and he says such a nice mashal that just brings out this point so stark, and I just remembered this, and that's why I decided, you know what, this is gonna be the topic of the week. Shalom, in his way, he said he had someone who knew him. And he knew this guy. He had a mishugas in his head. He saved up money his whole life. Maybe he learned a kollel, maybe he was a bad guy. He didn't have a real job. But he was, you know, he knew how to make money. He was learning. He was a good person, a very good person. He saved up money. We'll have a good story. So this guy saved up money his whole life to travel the world. He wanted to see the world. That was his thing. So, you know, every time he had a little few extra bucks, he put it aside. He started to get older. And he had enough money. And he made the trip. It took him a long time. A year or two later, he saw Shalom Shadron. And Shalom says to him, and he sees him far away, and he says, Shalom, I gotta tell you. He wants to tell him about his whole trip all around the world. And he had a little bag, a little, you know, of stuff with a bunch of albums. And he said, come here, Shalom. And he went through it, and he went through. He said, look, over here, this is Paris, this is Italy, this is China. Then he said he even went to South Africa, he showed him the safari, then he got to all the places in America, and you know this, and he showed him all things. Look, and like this is over here, and he was like, it's amazing how the world is so different and so special, and then the whole thing. And Shalom asked me, finished? Yeah, I finished. Okay. And he put it down like this. Now this guy had a good time. It's over. He's got nothing from it. What does he have from it? He has an album. The whole world is like over here. Today, in today's day of age, I could have the whole world on a, you know, on a little chip. I'm saying the truth is, you don't have to travel the whole world to put the world on a chip. You could just press a few buttons and you know, you get pictures of every place in the world. But if you want a picture with me next to the Eiffel Tower, so then, you know, I have to travel the whole world. So, he said like this. He was talking about Chukos HaTelechu when he said this, saying this guy, what does he have? He said a few points in this guy. He's traveling. He traveled the whole world. What does he have from the whole world? He was for a minute over here, for a minute over here, for a minute over here, for a minute over here. He has nothing from it because he wasn't miyushav. He didn't have anything. He saw a little bit of each thing. He doesn't even know anything about it. So the guy that was in Italy with him explained to him why this tower is leaning. Why the leaning tower of Pisa? What's the pshat? Either he's right or he's not right. He explained to him, you know, 300 million years ago when the world, what's it called? Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. You don't even know anything about it. You trusted the tour guide, but you don't know anything. You have nothing from it. That's because you're just passing through. You're not really there. If you're really somewhere, then you have it. Then you have it, and you get to keep it, and you get something out of it. So if you want to gain something from being, you want to get into Bechukosai Teilechu, that you can keep it with you forever and ever and ever, you have to be miyushav in a yeshiva. The study of yeshiva is, why is it that the yeshiva tries to block out as much of the external deterrence or things that take us away from learning, is in order just to enable you to be miyushav, that you could focus on what you're supposed to be doing. Because when you're out there in the big world and you have so much access to everything going on, then you just can't do it. That's one thing he said. And he said that there's another point in this guy who traveled around the whole world. He knows about Paris because he has a picture of the Eiffel Tower, and he knows all about England because he saw the changing of the guards one time in front of the palace. What does he know? It's like, you know, I love people, and you know, I lived in Baltimore, next to, you know, it's close to Washington. I was in Washington tens and tens of times, like, but I don't think I know anything about Washington. And then these people that come for one day from Israel, and they come, they go down to Washington, and they go, and they first of all, they went to more places than I've ever been at there, and they still don't know it. Doesn't make you know something. You think this is the whole thing. There's so much more. And one more point he said is that, how did he go traveling? What does a tourist do? When he gets to the town, checks into the hotel, 5-star hotel, and he sits there, and with a gishma, he gets a good, you know, he gets a nice dinner, goes to sleep, has a good breakfast, and he's go ready to go out. So he puts on his cap and his backpack, and he's goes touring with a tour guide, and they look around with a bunch of old men with walking sticks, and then it's boiling hot outside, so tired, you know, you drink a little bit of that drink, and you have to sit down and take a little thing, and then you come back, and then you come back, and that's your day. This is your fulfilling day. You saw the whole. Right now, we did the whole safari today from sitting in that van. We saw three animals, a little bit of elephants, and a little bit of lions, and whatever. We got this. We saw the whole South Africa. Next day, you go to Johannesburg, you see a bunch of black people, and you think you know everything. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't even have a fulfilled day. A person that lives there and is doing and is doing New York right. I'm not talking about a Jew. Someone who's like a high class guy in New York. He's waking up at 6:30 in the morning. I'm not waking up. He wakes up earlier than that. These guys, before they before they eat breakfast, they finish the whole Wall Street Journal before they start working. You know, they know exactly what's happening. They get on the train. They're at work by 8:30. They're there until 7:30. They come back. They have a busy day, and they have a meeting, and they have this, and they have family simcha, and they have to go out, and then they go to sleep at 12 o'clock at night, and they wake up again the next morning at 5 o'clock, and start the day over again, and that's a functioning person. He's not even functioning because all you're doing is a tourist. What's a tourist? A tourist doesn't do anything for you. The only way you have anything from anything is by putting your head to it, appreciating having nothing, being able to block out everything that's unimportant, focusing on what you're doing. That is the yisoid of yeshiva. That's me saying that's what Shimon Bar Yochai was zeichah to be able to do. He was able to just take everything out of his mind. Sit there. He had nothing to worry about. He didn't worry about food. He didn't worry about clothes. He didn't worry about people. Eliyahu HaNavi came to him every day, gave him everything he needed. That's what the Chazal say. All the Torah he needed. And he was happy. He had him and his son. And through that, it says, there's a lot more that I didn't talk about. Through that, it says that he was Zaycha to be able to support the whole world. It says that he himself said that if the world was supposed to be destroyed, then just I and my son would be able to, in our schus, would keep up the whole world. Because when a person does something for real, you become a real person, and the world is worth being kept up for real people. And you know, that's what we have to learn from. And that's why he was Zaycha. It says he got a matana from Shemayim, that he got Soides HaTorah. Soides HaTorah came down to him. It's things that you can't really learn. It's impossible. The truth is, all Torah works that way. Torah is given to us in matana. Shimon Bar Yochai is considered a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu and Shimon Bar Yochai have a lot. The Zohar says this. That's what Shimon Bar Yochai wrote, the Zohar, for all those who want to know. The Zohar says that Shimon Bar Yochai is a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu ran away, and he ran away from the king. He with a lot of similar. He was given, Moshe Rabbeinu was given Torah Shebik Sav, and Shimon Bar Yochai was given Torah Hanister, a whole kind of Torah. He went to be makabel a new Torah, and all that is from his koyach of concentration and knocking everything out and just focusing on what you're supposed to focus on. Well,